From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Gulf of Alaska cod could soon lose its blue certified sustainable label, which has proven to be an incentive for consumers to purchase the fish. The reason's got nothing to do with fishermen. Blame it on climate change. Warming waters are depleting stocks, and depleted stocks puts the fishery at risk. And finally, the heart-wrenching story of the sinking of the fishing vessel Scandi's Rose. We hear from one of the survivors how the boat sank, how he escaped, and how hard it was to watch his fellow crew members not be able to get out of the boat before it sank. Like a pencil, he said, perpendicular to the surface with the bow straight up in the air. A warning on this story. It's not for the faint of heart, and it may be especially disturbing for those of you who have gone down on a boat or have lost someone in a fishing vessel. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Take a walk past a grocery store seafood counter, and you may notice the little blue stickers that mark certain types of fish as sustainably caught. As demand for environmentally conscious seafood goes up, sustainability certifications are increasingly important. But at the same time, climate change is threatening Alaska's long-standing reputation for sustainable fisheries. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Kavitha George has this story of how Gulf of Alaska cod is close to losing its blue sticker.
Gulf of Alaska cod have had a rough go of it in the last few years. A massive Pacific Ocean heat wave from 2014 to 2016 crashed cod numbers by more than half in the Gulf. This year, managers were forced to close the federal fishery entirely for the first time due to low stock. And now Gulf cod appears likely to lose its sustainability certification from the Marine Stewardship Council, or MSC. The MSC is a global nonprofit that sets the standard for sustainable fisheries around the world. Here's Jackie Marks, Senior PR Manager for the MSC.
What the MSC certification really does is, along the supply chain, it allows for there to be traceability. And at the end of the supply chain, it allows that product to have the MSC Bluefish label on it, signifying to consumers that it has been caught sustainably.
Gulf of Alaska cod has carried that label for 10 years. It's a branding tool emblematic of Alaska's history of well-managed fisheries. Other fisheries, like Northeast Atlantic mackerel, have lost MSC certification in part for management issues. So cod industry leaders worry that losing it could cast the Gulf in a bad light, even though this is a climate-caused crash. Before the crash, the Gulf accounted for 20 to 25% of Alaska's cod market, but warming waters have driven the population down to just above overfish status, and now the fishery is being reassessed.
From what we understand of the MSC standard, it does look likely that the certification will be suspended.
That's Julie Decker, Executive Director of the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. With the federal fishery closed and only a small state fishery open this season, she says it's hard to predict what impact losing MSC certification will have on the market.
The fact that the fishery is closed and there's less biomass on the market could have more impact to the price than the certification. So, you know, it's very hard to sort of tease those two issues apart.
In other words, not having much Gulf cod to sell will probably impact the market more than losing a sustainability label this year. In any case, the majority of Alaska's cod, sold fresh or frozen and processed for foods like fish and chips, comes from the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands, both of which are MSC certified. Nicole Kimball represents Alaska Seafood Processors and sits on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council.
But there are specific export markets for cod that require MSC certification. I want to be clear on that. So those markets wouldn't be available if MSC certification was suspended later in 2020 for any Gulf of Alaska state waters cod. And I'm sure processors would be looking for alternative markets if they've been dependent on MSC markets for that.
The bigger issue for Kimball and other industry members is distinguishing why Gulf cod might have its MSC certification suspended. As Julie Bonney, Executive Director of the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank, points out, it's not management that's to blame.
Here, we're actually basing our fishery management based on the best available science, and they're taking a precautionary approach by closing directed fishing in the federal fishery, and they've also accounted for the small amount of catch that's going to come through the state fisheries.
The MSC publishes the reasonings behind suspending a fisheries certification, but from a consumer marketing angle, there is no distinction between a fishery suspended for management issues versus one suspended for environmental problems. Again, here's Jackie Marks with the MSC.
I think as we sort of continue to see how climate change is having an impact on fisheries, we might need to take another look at that. Climate change is, of course, a very important one and something that we're going to continue to have to address.
The reassessment for Gulf of Alaska cod is slated to begin in February, with results following around April. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Kavitha George.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org. The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you, in part, by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960. Or online at alaskaboat.com.
It's been about 6 weeks since the fishing vessel Scandies Rose went down west of Kodiak. Two fishermen were rescued wearing Gumby survival suits in a life raft. The other five crew members, as well as the 130-foot crab boat, were never found. While the U.S. Coast Guard is investigating the cause of the casualty, KUCB's Hope McKinney asked one of the survivors for his account of what happened that night. A note to listeners, this story may be especially disturbing to those of you who have gone down with a boat or have lost someone on a fishing vessel.
Dean Gribble grew up in Washington. He began salmon tendering when he was 11 years old, and he spent the past 21 years crab fishing.
I was born a commercial fisherman. It's in my blood. My dad and my family, they've all been in it. Kids grew up having football or baseball players as their heroes, and Ed Crabbers is my heroes.
Gribble hadn't planned to be on the Scandies Rose on New Year's Eve, but a crew member quit in late December, and his friend John Lawler asked him to fill in.
John called me the 28th. I flew up the 29th. We left the 30th, which is my birthday. We sunk the 31st. I was home on the 1st.
Gribble describes it as a whirlwind, what happened between 10 p.m. on December 31st when the crew hit the Mayday button, and 2 a.m. on New Year's Day when he and Lawler were rescued by a Coast Guard rescue swimmer. Gribble was woken up by Lawler yelling that the boat was going down. He says the vessel was taking on ice and listing to the side amid 30-foot seas, well below freezing temperatures, and 40-mile-per-hour winds.
I started passing out the suits to everybody. We're listing really hard at this point. And I tried to get my suit on the ground, and I couldn't because I kept sliding down towards the starboard side. And I jumped up in the bench, and I used the armrests as a foothold. And I was able to get my suit on about halfway. and the armrest that I was using broke. So I started sliding down.
He finally got outside on the deck on his fourth try, and then the generator shut off and the lights cut out.
Now it's just loud. All you hear is the creaking of the steel and, you know, the waves slamming into the boat, and it's sinking, it's going fast.
Gribble helped Lawler get his Gumby suit on, and they tied themselves together with a rope.
The other guys weren't out of the boat. I'm screaming at these other guys. I'm screaming at them to get out of the boat. And they were trying. I was trying to find something to throw back in to so they could use it maybe to climb out. I couldn't find anything because everything was so icy. I couldn't get anything. The boat was going down.
Gribble says he's been involved in searches for lost crews before, and he didn't have any hope that he and his crewmates would survive.
I knew I was going to die. My main concern was just try to get out so maybe they can get my body or something for my family to get closure.
At that point, Gribble and Lawler jumped off the deck and into the water as the rest of the crew remained on the boat.
Now I'm alone in the dark, floating in 20, 30-foot seas. Just any fisherman's nightmare. And I see the boat penciled straight up and down in the air, bow straight up in the air. And then it sinks. My heart dropped. I tried to do everything I could to get those guys out. I tried. I went screaming at him. You gotta get out of the boat.
Then Gribble saw a fluorescent life raft about 500 feet away, and he and Lawler swam to it. Once inside, they bailed water and waited in the dark for about 4 hours before the Coast Guard found them and took them to the hospital in Kodiak, where they were treated for hypothermia. The rescuers say Gribble and Lawler wouldn't have survived if it wasn't for their suits and the life raft. The search for the Scandies Rose and her remaining crew was suspended less than 24 hours later. It spanned more than 20 hours and 1,400 square miles and included 4 helicopter crews, 2 airplane crews, and the Coast Guard cutter Mellon. The 5 missing fishermen are Gary Cobbin Jr., David Lee Cobbin, Arthur Ganasius, Brock Rainey, and Seth Russo Gonneau. Dean Gribble is currently home with his family. He says it's going to be a while until he gets back on a boat. In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKenney.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Hope McKenney at KUCB in Unalaska, Kavitha George with Alaska's Energy Desk, and Lainey Welch with Alaska Fish Radio. A big thank you to all you listeners of the Alaska Fisheries Report and to the radio stations that air our program. And for you fishermen, remember, keep safety right on the top of your mind when you're underway. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.